Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I'm Shannon Feltus.
I'm Bonnie Dutch.
And this is
You Are That.
We are two sisters who cannot take a compliment.
And we won't.
We're not going to.
You can't make us.
It's not happening.
Today's podcast, I'm very excited to announce that we have Chris Crummett.
Hello.
Record producer. If you listen to any kind of music, you've probably heard his magical doings, and he is the owner of Interlace Audio.
Hello.
Very excited.
Me too.
Yeah, I am too.
So I met you many, many moons ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
When you were playing in the band Clarity Process. That's
okay. Yeah.
How I knew of you. So local Portland band, you guys pretty much opened up for like every band that came through. Everyone was obsessed with in the scene.
Yeah.
I became friends with you guys through 5 different channels.
Yeah.
All you boys. I have different friendships with all of you.
Yeah.
Then we became friends in like live shows, band shows. We'd run into each other.
But yeah.
Then my main memory of us, parties.
Yeah.
And to clarify for the listeners, I'm not talking like rock and roll, coke and stripper parties. I'm talking ugly sweater parties above
nice.
The tube,
yes.
Halloween parties full of costumes, just weird, like wholesome.
Yeah.
Just real wholesome.
Mostly
partying.
Wholesome. Yeah.
There was some weirdness there.
Yeah.
You know, but
like rock and roll wholesome.
Like they weren't even rock and roll. They were just like musicians
yeah.
mixed with party friends. But when we were at parties, it wasn't like partying with bands. All the kids came out from their houses, local bands playing live music in basements.
Nice.
And trips to Eugene, that felt like a big deal. Like, oh, this weekend
so
we're doing
away.
Eugene, man. We're going to go to Eugene. We're going to party with the MT. Like, it was very silly and fun. And then there was one Halloween. You guys all wore creepy plasticky masks.
Ooh.
Probably. I'm a big fan of Halloween.
I know. And I love it.
It's our favorite, too.
And, man, I found a fun photo that I got really excited about. It was the Halloween party where Marinelli, your wife, couldn't look me in the eye because I was that vintage vampire.
Uh-huh.
And I had contacts and fangs. This is you guys in our little tiny house in Northeast Portland.
Yes.
Wearing.
That was a slap together costume, but I like it.
Oh, that's
wearing
cute.
Cool wigs.
Yeah.
And you have a gold pimp chain on. Your shirt's undone.
Look
and
how just, sassy she is. She's just serving it
she's
in that
like, yeah. And what we noted was she's drinking Tallboy PBR with a straw. Because she's classy as fuck. And I love it.
Okay, that's cute.
What? Right? Yeah, I can't remember why the straw, but.
Just why not?
Love it. Yeah, it was great.
Something was
good
going
times.
On.
Yeah.
And she just could not bear to look at. She's like, I can't. And under the black light, I would just like glow all over.
You're
and
such
so,
a creep, though. You love being a creep.
Yes.
I do, too, though. I'm actually surprised at how like that's like a what's in the trunk type costume.
It looks really
I feel like you probably had that party on like maybe the day before Halloween or a couple of days or something.
Yeah,
like, because there's always like lots of Halloween parties.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So people were like, back then, people were good about day after, day before. There was like, you could hit three or four.
Yep. It was at the time I paid like $60 for these like whiteout contacts. And now you can get them for like $5 online. Either way, they will scratch your fucking
eyes. Still awesome.
That was a really fun party.
It was a good time.
All kinds of people showing up in throws, themed bar.
Oh,
and
nice.
Popcorn, right. Skeleton hands. We did all kinds of weird, creepy foods.
Yeah.
Portland partying then was, it was fun, but it always turned into something more. Like
something
more. Oh, yeah.
Even if you just like went to a party to hang out, by 9 p.m., everyone's got their tops off and everyone's sweating and there's music on and everyone's just, it's a dance party and people you don't expect to see dancing are just like cutting a rug.
There was no normal, like, I don't think until I was quite a bit older did I go to a party where we like did just like hung out and we took it over the top when we got this place with the pool. I feel like that's where we peaked with the with things going insane. We had a couple parties that were just way too outrageous. Absolutely outrageous.
Like
with people
dangerous. You're like, it could have gone way more wrong.
And it did go, things definitely did go a little bit wrong at times. That's when we started having to be like, people please, invite only. Like, because it used to be like, bring your friends, do whatever. Our group friend is a blob that absorbs other friends. And like,
that's crazy,
how
though.
We had all those parties and all those things going on is because we were just like an absorbing friend group. Just everyone,
pool,
we know each other. We're going to do this stuff. So
you
then
have a pool in Oregon.
Get a pool into it and a gigantic backyard. Right. And then social media being kind of at its peak. And
that's
then
what I was
it's
gonna
like,
say.
Oh, those okay, parties, there's 250 people here.
Yeah, everyone tags like, everybody in every photo. Everyone's tagged. Then suddenly your next party is like three times as large.
Yeah, we had like this Taekwondo dojo that showed up with jackets. It was crazy. When that happened, when those people showed up, and we were all like dressed.
You had
and
a ninja
like,
party on
and there was already way too many. I'm not kidding when there was like hundreds of people here. And they showed up and I was like, all right, this is like a teen movie now. And I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, it was wild. It was the next day there was like people ate out of our freezer. There was nothing left in the people defrosted food in order to like
survive.
Have a good time, survive. There was like there was one point in the night where I saw this guy like pouring chip dust into his mouth from the chip bags from like the Dorito bags because that's all there was.
Oh,
and I was just like, oh
when
my
there's no food,
God.
You leave, man. Get
yeah. I know, for real,
God.
Right? No, there was a smoke bomb. Somebody puked in the pool.
Oh no!
And then somebody didn't get out of the pool. It was really funny.
So there was puke in the pool, and then one person's like, "I'm still
arms on the ledge." Just leaning back and the puke is just floating by him. I go, man, Art, you're just chilling. You're not going to get out of the pool. He's like, it's chlorine in here, right? And I was like, yep. And he's like, all right.
Ew.
Just mental image.
So you had a 90s teen movie happen at your house.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was
the parents were gone, except for I'm also the parents.
You were the parents.
The kids weren't born yet, I don't think.
But you're a homeowner, so you're like, look at how adult I am. But then also,
party,
fuck. aftermath.
Yes, capital lessons. Fuck.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's amazing.
It was still fun.
Those parties, I think, died when cell phone videos and uploading your life. But thank God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you think of all the... I just got goosebumps again.
Oh,
the carnage. Yeah. The footage of me before I calmed my jets substantially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I'm really glad.
None of us would have cut out that way or broken out that way at
Some
parties.
Some of us didn't have control.
If we knew that there was a consequence. Yeah, and I don't mean doing bad things, just doing embarrassing things. Yeah.
Just, your friends don't care, but you don't want your mom's friends to have the opportunity to care.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. Yeah. I had the best Halloween costume one year. I had a lab coat and it was like a sexy mortician.
Ooh.
So I had like severed hands in my pockets and like syringes through my really cute hair. It was a very polished outfit. Going out felt great. And then I also had like a bra that hoisted my boobs to Mars because I was like an A cup. By the time I was walking home drunk, reached in my pocket, I no longer had severed hands in my pocket, but my bra was in my pocket because I just had gotten tired of the situation. It was just like under a white lab coat, just boobs, no big deal.
Halloween is such a magical time to whatever the fuck you want. Then your parent and people are like, what are you doing for Halloween, bro? You having a party? And you're like, no, no, we have kids.
Yeah, so no, we're going trick or treating at 6.
Warm costume, very early. Yes. Check the candy. Yeah. Eat the children's candy after bed.
Yeah. Yep. Check sleep the by 10:30 probably. Oh, try to watch a scary movie once they're asleep, but then.
Turn
really
off all
happen.
The lights so the neighborhood kids don't wake up your kids.
Yes.
Yeah, ringing your fucking doorbell.
But then someone does anyways.
Always. Do your parents not know the rule? Like our parents taught us, if the lights are off, you're fucking rude.
No, yeah, when you're a teenager, something. You teepee those houses. That's the rules.
I never teepeed.
I have sad guilt, and I know I'm going to get it back tenfold.
I mean, it's
someday.
Not that big of a deal. It's just
it's
paper.
Really rude. No,
no, it is rude.
In Oregon, man, it that stuff sticks, is like you paper mache giant trees, and people can't get it out of their trees.
Oh, yeah, I never really. But
you're tall.
Let's just move on.
You could have
never
TP'd
anyone. So. I was too big to sneak around like that. Though. Yeah. There was like no hiding behind anything.
I wasn't quiet.
Like, if I got caught,
I never
like
got caught.
There was just nothing I could hide behind. It's all right.
You're a tall guy. Have you been tall forever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I peaked when I was like 14 or 15. I was this tall. It was never really advantageous for me. I think I was too dorky to like.
We were too dorky too. So realistically, that's why the basketball players weren't interested.
I do remember though that in sixth grade, the only person even remotely close to being as tall as me and was taller was a girl. And
that's
I think,
cool.
But she grew. I think she's like 6'3" or 6'4" or something. She's like very tall. She might even be taller. She might be taller than me
she
now.
Might,
actually, I don't know. I
she
haven't
might
seen
have
her
never
since
quit
like
growing.
Yeah, she might be like
and
13
she's
feet
just
or something.
Real,
yeah.
Yeah, she's real big.
Yeah.
Shannon Googles.
Yeah.
Guinness Book World Records. Now that you're all warmed up and juicy, loosey goosey, why don't you tell the world who you are?
My name's Chris. I produce music for a living.
You're very good at it.
Yeah, I've been working on a lot of records for about 20-ish years, almost like 22 years. Kind of depends on where you define the start of. I've been recording since I was like a 12-year-old. So it's kind of blurry where the career actually starts and the being a kid stopped or something. I don't know. But working with labels and stuff, making records with labels has been about 21 years.
Damn, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
You're
doing
great.
I work with bands from all over the world. A lot of like rock music, things that fall under the rock umbrella, a little bit of indie stuff, some pop stuff, but a lot of prog type rock, post-hardcore. One of the bigger bands that I work with is called Dance Gavin Dance. And they're like the biggest band that nobody knows. They're like multi-billboard top 20 records and stuff. But it's like, if you don't know, you don't know, but they can fill a 5,000 cap venue. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, I've heard this song before.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. Why do I know the words to this song?
Yeah.
They're fun.
Yeah, they're great. But yeah, I've been lucky enough to work with a lot of rad bands over the years. And I have a recording studio now that's on my property where I live. And I'm a dad and I record music and hang out with my kids. And that's pretty much it.
Living the dream.
Living the dream, yeah.
Living the dream.
Yeah.
We are in your home studio right now.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
It's very cool. I'm jealous for everyone who can't see all these million sale records and album art all over the walls for every band that is on every mixtape that made you have emotions over your ex.
That's a really good point. Yeah. That's really true, actually.
I'm in awe of you.
Yeah, is it weird, like a weird hall of memories?
Yes.
If I had a real hallway, you know, there's no hallways in this
there
building.
Isn't.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
true.
No hallways.
You're
the
sure
only hallway is a kitchen.
Yeah.
You have a galley kitchen.
It's kind of something I realized after we finished. There's no hallways to
there's
like
no
put
hallways.
Stuff up. So all the like plaques and records and stuff are just kind of spread
full
throughout.
Decor.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
It's rad.
It's
like
full
it.
Wall stuff.
It
and you have like
cool focal points.
Bunk beds for the bands to come stay.
Yeah.
Like I walked through here and was like, this is like literally like a prize jewel point. If I was in a band and I had to go record somewhere, to have somewhere that felt like home, to be recording with someone like you, like I would just feel like it was the best productive vacation.
Yeah. And Oregon's cool too, because it's kind of moody.
Yeah.
Depending on what time of year you're here, the mood's a little different. You know, super dark in the winter, but people can feed on that. And it kind of works out actually, because people can really like focus on the music. It's hard on some people, but even when it's hard on people, I think that comes out in the music. And
you're
it's,
like, use this.
Yeah. And it's hard. It's hard. I don't like being like, oh, hey, you hate life right now because you haven't seen the sun in a week because you wake up at 3 p.m. and stay up till 3 a.m. and somehow sleep 12 hours a day because you're a band dude.
Yeah.
When you sing, you sound sad for real.
Yes.
So
your sadness,
it's working out.
Like,
yeah.
has that, what is it?
Seasonal depression sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least they can fly back home to California or Arizona.
Then they feel like they purged all their emotions. They're like, that was a weird cleanse up there.
Or they're from Alaska or something and they're like, oh my God, there's sun for 2 hours. It's incredible. I love it here. It's perfect.
They've got shorts on. They're like, let's get in that pool.
I feel bad for like when people come from the other hemisphere or like other, like a band will come from Australia and it's summer there. And they come here for a month and a half and it's like winter and dark and rainy. And we don't even have like the super cool winter where there's like 2 feet of snow and you can build snowmen. And it's not terrible. It's not ice cold. It's not like Chicago where it's like negative 12 or something.
It's just windy. Sideways rain but it's just and kinda, sad.
Yeah, yeah. It's sideways rain and sad. If you're used to it being summertime, like it's got to be a little weird. I went there for Christmas once and that was the reverse trip. Yeah. That was like one of the weirdest things I've ever done. It was like,
You know, it's Christmas all over the world at the same time.
Christmas is like beach parties.
And like we just called dibs on winter.
Yeah, like, and like Frosty the Snowman. Like they don't sing about Frosty the Snowman.
No,
Frosty the Sandman, y'all.
Yeah, yeah, I know it's real creepy.
That's crazy.
Australia's if you're not from that part of the world, it's so easy to get sunburnt. There's actually like a scientific reason why it's like the ozone is thinner. You get sunburnt like so fast.
I've heard that too.
So yeah, it was like sunburns for Christmas and like some other stuff. Crazy, crazy stuff happened on that trip. We got hit by a car. What? As pedestrians and like it was wild. It was. I wouldn't take any of it back, but it was totally crazy.
You learn a lot when you go to other places.
Yeah. You learn a lot being alive. I don't know. I feel like there was like a good decade and a half where like craziness just followed me.
Right?
Or, and you're or maybe like, I followed crazy. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of those moments, especially now. Like having kids and actually thinking about things like that. I'm like, why am I alive?
Dude, that was a perfect
This is a
segue.
Good blend.
I like it. When you were young and getting started with musical things, did you know immediately that that's what you wanted to be or what you wanted to do when you grew up? Or did you have another job in mind before you chose music full time?
Never, ever had another job.
Nice. No but doubt.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up, I was born in 1982. Like MTV was my babysitter. My parents were, they were all about putting on records, putting on MTV. I was like the kindergartner watching MTV. And then like all my friends weren't allowed to. And so I was like the evil kid. That like even though I wasn't I was like a super good kid but it was always like oh my God there's like half naked women on television
is that
like,
weird the MTV
and they're like
judged
what
so
are they
hard when
yeah know? Like long hair and men look like women and what is happening
yes
and you're just like I just like the music it's fun and I'm a kid and I'm screaming Nine Inch Nails at the top of my lungs but and my dad was a musician my mom's a musician like for me it was just like I'm there was probably like a split second where I thought I was going to draw cartoons or something but I was not that good of I wasn't a terrible artist but I was not like that wasn't very good music was like I thought I was going to be a rock star obviously watching MTV the idea that I was going to be like a recording engineer or producer or anything didn't come along until way way later all through elementary school everything is like I have my tapes my Walkman I was going to be like the front man in a band I was going to sing you know and I like my mom got me in piano lessons pretty young and like always had a little recorder and was singing and had my own little like keyboard that I can make beats on and you know dabbled in rap because it was like 1990 you know and that, just everything but it, my whole life was just music I rode BMX bikes for a while that was also like something I was way into but that I don't think anyone ever does that and goes this is gonna be my job like anyone who actually becomes pro they were just naturally really good and got lucky to meet the right people and stuff I wasn't terrible but I was never
it
like an athlete
an
like that
date.
Yeah yeah exactly you know? It has an expiration date for but music so it was reasons. Just like you know I wanted to be the front man I wanted to sing and play guitar my dad was a drummer so there was always drums around my parents thing was like if you take drum lessons you can also take any other kind of lessons you want
baseline
you yeah yeah like, fundamental yeah. in drums which at the time was kind of like I don't like that but I'm really glad they did that because I learned a lot and what they knew that I didn't know as like a 10-year-old was that everybody needs a drummer nobody needs a singer
nobody needs
a guitar player everybody needs a drummer so like when I was 12 I was playing guitar in bands I was singing I had like my own bands I mean even at that time there was just no drummers other than like a couple guys that I knew really one guy that I knew that was James McMillan was like the only other serious drummer at the time as a 12-year-old. So
no traveling 12-year-old drummers, just
So it's like, where are all the 12-year-old drummers? But there was like 15, 16-year-old guitar players and singers that needed a drummer still. I started playing drums in bands. I was in like five bands, you know, through all that. And then within all that, I was making my own music, recording my own music because I could play every instrument.
Like, no big deal.
Yeah. So you're I was recording myself, and then all my bands were like, well, can you record us? Because we don't have any money. And then that's kind of what snowballed into like doing recording. And then by the time I was like 21, like when I was in Clarity Process, I was trying to tour and stuff, and people were like, why are you going on the road? Come back, like make a record with us. And eventually it was just like, yeah, I got this. Is
there. The call is for you to be here.
Yeah, well, and I was I had like labels calling and being like, you know, it's like, yeah, you want to book the band? They're like, no, we want to book you for recording. And it's like, okay, all right.
I love
and
then, it. But eventually, then you're like, it was also, just how like, do I tell the band?
Yeah, well, and I was kind of a later member in that band, so it wasn't like I was like a founding member, so it wasn't as hard. And I think everybody kind of saw it coming, anyways. I loved traveling, and I loved like just being
band life.
Yeah, band life, and just meeting new people every night, being super gritty, and
Edward Fortyhands waking up in a new city.
Yeah,
Edward Fortyhands.
Oh my gosh.
Wearing the tightest little jeans and sleeping where you could get sleep. Sleeping sitting up.
For people that don't know what Edward Fortyhands is, because that is a weird thing. I did find that not everybody knows what that is. Funny. Will you describe what Edward Fortyhands is for the
people? It's the worst mistake you'll ever agree to.
And always make sure you pee before you sign up
or
to play.
Or do not break
game.
The seal ever.
Yeah.
So Edward Fortyhands is you grab two 40s in a pinch, tall boys work. And you duct tape these motherfuckers to your hands. Usually it's like you and another person like going head to head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then if you have great friends, they will help you undo your pants if
you have
to. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. There's a way.
Yeah. That's where like best friends are created. Because it's like, will you undo my pants, but then also like, can you dab at it? Can you like,
because girls had a little rougher than dudes for this game.
Yes, but I also saw some great smart girls do Edward Fortyhands, and they were wearing dresses. And before they started, they're like, hold on. And they just took their panties off.
See, that's
put
great.
Them in their purse. Wow. And I was like, you don't need anyone. You can just like go behind the shed and pee in the bushes.
That's
no one's
smart.
The wiser.
I never won Edward Fortyhands.
No, and you
never.
Have to drink them. The real rule is you have to drink them both before you're able to remove them from your hands. Some people did it to where if you finished a 40, then you had one free hand.
Nah, it was always cheating. That's cheating. Yeah, no, I never did it that cheating. Way. It was always both.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, this isn't something
and it wasn't
you do
that many times.
Turn
was,
30.
No.
I've only done it twice, and it was twice too many.
And I felt like I had something to prove. But,
yes.
Oh, my God.
And I watched dudes do it first. So I was like, why? Same. I watched them struggle. And again, it was in the time of girl jeans on guys. Like skinny jeans didn't exist for men at the time, so they were cramming themselves into girl jeans.
Always wearing girl jeans.
And they were always like low rise. Like with
that's all there was.
A magic
trick. That's all there was.
Yeah. It was something about like the screamo hip bones that girls went crazy for, where they're like, oh my God, these pants are so tiny.
Well, the worst is that we were wearing tight shirts too.
Everything was tight. Yeah.
And there was like nothing covering the middle.
No. And when you think of that, do you think of Stephen Cook?
Oh yeah.
100%.
I feel like he still kind of dresses
still
like that.
Yeah, a little bit. But every time it was like, clap along to the song. Yeah. It was always like, little bit of pale ass organ midriff.
Yep.
That's all it was. But can you imagine if the fashion then was what we have now, which is like the high waist skinny jeans?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite, but I can't imagine like if that was the only option for boys, would they have not chosen skinny jeans? Because they go like clear up your torso, man.
They're in your ribs, man.
Gonna say dudes would have still done it. A lot of them will. I had this pair of Wranglers that was like girl jeans from the 70s that I found at early on in my girl jeans.
Eight buttons instead of three.
Yeah. They like went the up pretty high. And I love those because I have like tall hips.
Yeah.
So the low ones were like rough on me. I was always looking for like the longest, which wasn't very common. But I remember finding those in Texas at a thrift store on tour. They weren't quite as high waisted as now, but they were a lot
like
higher
Western
waisted.
Height, yeah, which yeah, is yeah. Not trendy. It's function.
Yeah, but right. They were great. Those were great jeans. I don't know whatever happened.
I wore them to death.
I did, and they were real. They were like thick jeans, not like skinny jeans from Forever 21 or H&M or something tear, that would just tear immediately. I was thinking about this the other day. The first time I wore women's jeans was completely on accident.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I was in the music like young. It was the fashion to wear like tighter jeans. Mm-hmm. I didn't really realize that like famous rock stars were wearing like women's jeans in the late 90s and stuff. I remember being at a Ross Dress for Less, and remember they just had those like areas where it was just
denim
chaos. Denim for like seven racks, and it was like men denim, women denim. Stuff would just end up wherever, and I was like, oh my god, there's a size 32 jeans that are like tight, and I'd never seen the brand because I was not
a
woman.
French.
Yeah. Like, no, they were mud. I'll never forget. Oh, they were mud jeans, but I had no idea. I was like, I think I was in ninth grade.
That's awesome.
And I bought them, and I was like, this is awesome. I have like rock star pants now.
Yeah.
And I wore them to school, and I sat down. I'll never forget the girl sitting next to me. And she looks over me and goes, why are you wearing girls' pants? And I was like, these aren't girls' pants. I got them in the men's section.
Like, no.
She's like, those are girls' jeans. She does a little, you can't see me, but like she like arches her back. Shows me the tag on her jeans, and it's literally the pants I'm wearing.
She leans over.
And I was just like,
same.
Okay. And she's like, it's okay, though. They look good. And I was like, okay.
Validated
okay.
Your rock
yeah,
status.
And I wore them, and they ripped in like 3 days. you know, wore them ripped and
but it's
whatever.
Cool. They were
$12.99
marked down from $60.
Oh, yeah. They were exactly. They were cheap. It was awesome. And I looked for jeans like that for a while without shopping. Like, I didn't have the guts to shop in the women's section.
Yeah.
Until I was like 20 or 21 or something, when it was like a fad and everyone was doing it. I was like, okay, I can do this.
You roll into Forever 21 and just flip everybody off.
Yeah.
With the jeans.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm here to rock, bitches.
I'm Forever 25.
Go there with your girlfriend and pretend like you're looking for jeans for her, but you're not.
You never are.
You're not.
Ooh. Okay. So speaking of young bands, do you have any performing horror stories or any like shining moments?
I don't remember any horror stories.
Because you buried them.
Yeah, I probably buried. Well, and like.
Get the trauma trunk.
Yeah, you know, we were like kids playing rock music. So, like, even when things go wrong, you're still like having fun and you're like, fuck it. And it's like, whatever, throw your guitar, break something, and then it's all fine. I have a regret. It sticks out in my mind. I know my very first like real live performance as a band. It's my dad came with the camcorder. And I remember being like embarrassed and being like, don't film. But thinking he would probably film it anyways.
Yeah.
But just thinking that that's what I needed to say or something.
Like, and you then had to he be didn't. Too cool.
Yeah, and he didn't film it because he was respecting my wishes, which was like, it was really nice.
That's rare for that time frame.
True. And everyone has a camera now, and it's totally different. And the thing about now is, even if he didn't, 30 other people would have had it on film now.
That's a good point.
But it was like, I think he was the only one that brought the camcorder.
I'm going to be really cool.
And then I was like really sad, but obviously it was my own fault. And it was also a band that was the only performance we ever actually did.
I think
it was only like two songs. It was for a talent show. And I remember we did All My Friends by Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then we were just like a bunch of kids in junior high. After that, I think he like filmed everything that he went to, which was cool. We have a lot of footage of that. I feel like at that age, it's not so much shows and more Battle of the Bands.
Yeah.
I was like the junior high kid playing in Battle of the Bands with older kids.
Nice.
I don't think my bands ever won. Because there was always like, there was the like, in that time period, there was these two really good bands
that were always that
had
there.
Yeah, and they had members from every high school in Hillsboro. I'm from Hillsboro. And there's three high schools at the time, and the key was, if you were a really good band, you had to have a member from each high school,
so the popularity,
so you could play and you could play all of the Battle of the Bands because you had to have a band member go to the high school. The really good bands dominated all the schools, and I was too young. And some of them ended up being like just incredible musicians, like cool, like little music legacies and stuff. I don't feel bad about it or anything, but it was always a bummer.
I don't need fucking pity.
It's like, I only cry sometimes.
No. But that was always fun. And I remember I would always like dress up for those. Like, I was serious when I said Halloween was my favorite, especially when I was younger. I was like a Goodwill shopping kid.
Yes.
Like, we didn't buy new clothes.
And
like,
you
always
find treasures.
Used clothes. And it was always like, I had a little clothes allowance, which was like, you know, $10 or something. But you could find all kinds of stuff at Goodwill. Yeah. But I would also find like weird masks and like,
oh my
stuff to wear as costumes. And so at shows, I would always wear costumes. And I remember maybe the first Battle of the Bands I played. The other part of it is that you always play on the theater stage. Mm. So the backstage is always just like chock full of whatever costumes, whatever production the high school band is working on at the time. Whatever costume was not locked up and would maybe fit me, it was on me. Yeah, nice. Which is probably like kind of bad now.
Yeah.
But I've just, you know, taken costumes, masks. The bands I was in were like, oh, we did not realize you were wearing a costume until right now.
Yeah, we missed the memo on what we were dressing but it was up fun. As.
I had a hard time losing the like wanting to be a front man thing.
Yeah.
And so I was taking the like Keith Moon route of like trying to draw attention. Yeah. But it was fun, you know.
You're like, I'll stay in the shadows, but I'm still going to shine. Look at this jacket I found.
Big drum fills. Yeah, crazy clothes. Standing up while I play.
The platform raises.
Spinning sticks. Throwing cymbal stands. Knocking stuff over. Oh, my God. Know. That was the mid-90s.
That's rock and roll. And you learned it from watching MTV.
Exactly.
100%.
I thought that's what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drummer's got to be crazy.
So as a musician, and you produce music now for all kinds of different genres of music, they record here with you. This recording area is fucking amazing and beautiful, and you built it, so you're just multi-talented, and I'm in awe of you. But they're in there. You're pulling the best from them. You're doing it multiple times. You're trying to get what they want out of them while putting your spin on. And then you are producing it all. You're editing it all. You're cutting it all together to make something come together magically, and you're so good at it. Question for you as a MTV music video person, do you have those moments where when you're editing and you're playing it back, like you can see visuals in your head?
I did more when I was younger, or even like in my 20s. I felt like I conceptualized stuff like that more. I never tried to realize any of it. I had so much stuff going on that it was kind of like onto the next record.
Yeah,
so
you're like too busy.
Yeah, and I did like leaving it up to other people video wise, but a little bit for sure. I'll definitely listen back and like daydream. I still do that for sure. Yeah. And I know that if I'm like really daydreaming or air drumming really hard, then a song is good.
Nice. When you're feeling
it. If I'm on my phone, then it's probably not as good. If I lean back and I'm just rocking out, I hurt my hand a couple years ago air drumming so hard to a song that was like, this song fucking rules, and I was like rocking out and I slam my fist because I was like air drumming like I was playing drums. And I punched the desk so hard.
Were you alone or did someone?
I was fully alone. I'm so glad I was alone. I was like, ah, shit.
You're like, that felt really cool, and then it felt really stupid.
Yeah, if I'm willing to hurt myself over it, it's probably pretty damn good. But, you know, a little occupational hazards. I do get super, super disappointed when a song is awesome and I've put a lot into it and the video sucks. That's such a bummer.
In my mind, I saw more for you.
Yeah, they didn't get
that. Yeah, that's kind of like, I feel like I have put so much into this and you have put so much into this, but whatever this point, like, is not, this person has not put enough into this.
I kind of feel like it's like if you're a personal trainer for a celebrity, and you know how much work they've been doing to get to like this award show or this whatever, and then they're like wearing like a trash bag and you're like, this is not what I thought you were going to do with my work that I helped. It's you. You can do what you want with it, but like, God, I put so much work into this.
Yep.
Your third party is not seeing our vision. Thank you.
Luckily, it doesn't happen that often. Mm-hmm. Also, the trend of music videos has like swayed back into what I think is interesting. There's definitely a point in time where like pretty much every music video I just was like, you're outside a barn and the guy is shaking the camera. Are you filming in an earthquake? What the fuck is this? Like, I'm not enjoying this at all. And it got to the point where some of them were like, we're in a warehouse and the camera's shaking so bad that I feel sick that I'm looking at it like, what am I looking at? This is
everyone
horrible.
Did the same style. It's like they're just all so tragic.
The gray tones got me. All look dead. Your skin tone looks real bad.
I kind of like the dead. Now it's like the Twilight
felt too much though.
I'm like, ooh, you moody.
Now it went the other way. Now it's like, since like 2015, I feel like everything is pink and purple clouds. Like hazy pink and purple. And it was like cool at first, and now I'm just kind of like, okay, I just don't. There's a lot of great music videos being made now, and I think because it's so important now, like around 2010, before streaming was really like taking off, the video was not looked at as like and just as important as the album. Like YouTube was taking off, and it was important, but the full concept wasn't really grasped yet. And now we're kind of back in that 80s MTV era where the music video is actually like just as important as the record that's being made and the song. Yeah.
Because TV dropped it for a while. Then it didn't really have a home.
It was like reality and then, TV. Mm-hmm. And now they're even doing like on Spotify and stuff, when you're clicking on songs, it's playing snippets from the video.
Exactly.
It's
playing, and Instagram and
our age bracket all that stuff. Is back involved in a lot of that stuff.
You're like, you have to hook our ADHD. Stuff, we need visuals Vine for to little, go with it.
Well, I think everybody always wanted that. It was just like not there. There was no outlet for it. And social media kind of brought that back. So
thank goodness
people are realizing. Yeah, I'm glad. Something I like that I notice is that when a song comes out that I've produced that has a really, really good music video, it's perceived as like my best work. Because when you watch something, like if you've ever like watched a music video or a movie or anything, and you're like, I'm immersed in this, it sounds incredible. And then you close your eyes and you're like, well, actually, this sounds way different than I thought because I'm not looking at it. But the way your eyes change the way you hear things is real, and it's rad. Like, it's selfish, but it bodes well for me. It bodes well for the band when the music video is really good, because the whole experience that people walk away with is awesome. And it's kind of the opposite when the music video is bad. People that aren't really analytical about sound or like, I didn't enjoy that.
Isn't that weird?
Maybe
it's like
that record
psychology.
Doesn't sound very good. Yeah. So it kind of like comes back at me directly. So I love it when a video is awesome.
I bought way more soundtracks to movies because the whole encompassing thing was good for me. I loved it more because I loved the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Like Biodome. Really. I'm just always going to talk about that soundtrack.
There's some really classic soundtracks for sure. Some bands just like either they were contracted to record a certain song or like their best song.
Is what got
someone played. Heard it, and was like, oh, let's put this on the movie. Like, that's the outlet. Maybe it's not a radio song, but we'll put it on.
But it's like one off that they never will recreate sound again.
Yeah, like, they're a one hit wonder, but their one hit wonder went on a movie,
right? And their best album sales are because of that.
That's
soundtrack.
The dream.
I had that with the Crow soundtrack. I love the Crow soundtrack, and there's like half the bands on that actually have rad records, and then half the bands I was just like, this is what the hell am I listening? This is like not, this is a completely different band. And the funny thing about that is that there's like fans of those bands that are like, oh yeah, that one song on the soundtrack sucks.
Yeah, because you have to hate on it because so other different. People could listen to it. You're like, I heard this band first. How dare they put it on a movie where all these other regular people who don't even like the band could hear the song?
Yeah, and it's so different. Yeah, it is for sure.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
New favorite question, I think. If you could create the dream band from members of any other band, people you've recorded, bands you've been in, famous bands, anyone, who would you recruit, dead or alive?
Oh my gosh.
And you can be in this band or you could create this band.
This is tough because I've always been very anti-supergroup, but I do think it's a good question. You really have to think about it because a supergroup usually is based on like guys who like each other.
Right.
And not necessarily like...
Right. You can make them exist in their band and play happily.
I think, let's get weird. Screw this. Let's make an interesting band here. I want the band to be based around Roland from Tears for Fears.
Because
I think he's like one of the best frontmen and like most versatile, beautiful voices. He could do like anything and write any kind of song and it would like, and it's just amazing. Yeah. And they're still writing amazing songs. I saw them a couple years ago and I couldn't believe it. They're so old and it was amazing. It was like one of the best shows I ever saw and they covered fucking Radiohead. They played Creep.
I know we had a question.
They played Creep and it was before Radiohead started playing Creep again.
Yeah.
It was when they still refused and I'd seen Radiohead like 3 times and they refused to play Creep, which I got, but Tears for Fears is like, well, okay, we'll do it.
It was
fucking good. And they covered some other stuff and oh my God, they were incredible. But anyways, Roland, I think, would sing. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I've never been, I'm not going to even try.
When you say just his first name, it makes it sound like you guys are close personal friends.
Yeah, we're buds, even though we've never met, but we will be.
Old Rolly.
Yeah, Rolly.
We're tight.
Roll dog. So I think he's going to sing and probably play a little guitar, maybe some rhythm guitar. Drums, I'm going to say, I want this band to be a little bit crazy. So it's going to be Jimmy Chamberlin from Smashing Pumpkins.
Might
have been Dave Grohl, but so I don't want to get, I don't want to get so too funny? Like rock.
Right.
I
was like, he's going to say Dave Grohl. I was feeling Dave Grohl.
I was like, or Taylor.
Yeah, rest in peace. Jimmy Chamberlin is like one of my favorite drummers, and he's not necessarily, I wouldn't consider him versatile, but I love the way he puts his style on anything
he
does.
And cool.
Yeah, he's weird and cool, and it's so rad. And I think him and Roland could do something really out there. But the thing is I think lead guitar needs to be Billy Corgan because Billy and Jimmy have this relationship where they're almost like one person in their musicianship.
Yeah.
And it's so good when they're together and it's so mediocre when they're apart.
So
I think they
kind of
need to be together in the band.
Solid,
but I think we should have two lead guitar players.
So like, I'm
thinking
you can have a backing orchestra. If you want. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
You really can.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Actually, I think about the other lead guitar player because it would be like Lynyrd Skynyrd or like Allman Brothers or something, where there's like two lead guitar players that just shred. I would consider that. I think though, I would go to bass, and I want to say, as much as I want to say Flea,
I want to,
but I think the right move is Nate Mendel from the Foo Fighters and Sunny Day Real Estate, because he is like one of the most unsung, incredible bass players. His bass lines are like, listen to those first two Foo Fighters, especially the second Foo Fighters record, listen to any Sunny Day record. And the bass is so important and driving and melodic. And I think he's got to be the guy. I think he's the guy. I think Flea makes bands that don't quite know what they're doing better, but I think he would take over too much in that. I firmly believe that the reason the first Mars Volta record is incredible is because Flea played bass and wrote with them. And I think he made what was like a good idea, like real and solid, and made the songs feel like really good and melodic. And not just him, but I think he was, I have a feeling he was the glue in that situation.
Flea is magic,
and he's done a lot of awesome stuff. But I got to say Nate Mendel from Foo Fighters and Sunny Day. I know there's another like rad guitar player that can go with Billy that's like on the tip of my tongue. Maybe either guitar player from Pearl Jam. They were one of those bands where they played off each other. If you listen to like the first two Pearl Jam records, even if you do or don't like that band, if you focus on the guitars, like it's really crazy what they're doing back and forth. They're really playing off each other in this interesting way. way that didn't really come back until like the mid-2000s. I should cement somebody though. I don't want to take up your whole podcast with this question.
No, this is like our favorite question for musicians.
Let's do somebody newer on the second guitar. I'll say Will Swan from Dance Gavin Dance because he can kind of do anything. And he's another one of those guys that can, any band he steps into, like all his side projects, the minute he steps in, like they're
elevated. The music changed.
Yeah, they're elevated and he doesn't necessarily make it sound like him.
Yeah.
But his like level of quality and his ability to write songs on demand, I think.
Like meets them where they are and makes it cool.
Yeah, so it's like got a lot of songwriters in there, but that's okay.
That's awesome.
So we got Will Swan, Billy Corgan, Roland from Tears for Fears, Jimmy Chamberlain from Smashing Pumpkins on drums, and Nate Mendel on bass.
That's a great
band. I love this.
Yeah.
I'd go see them.
Awesome. Roland can probably play keyboard too.
Keyboard. I don't know why our brain, I feel like that's the 2000s brain of being like,
oh, you know what?
We want to put a keyboard for no reason.
I know who needs to be in this band. Who? Martin Gore from Depeche Mode.
Yeah, oh,
because he's like, he's also one of those guys that can kind of do anything he needs to do.
Yeah. What a cocoon of weird personalities, interesting writing. All of them in a room would just be...
It should be chaotic. I want it to be crazy. It should be crazy. Yeah.
Like the manic thoughts, like one person's just burn out drinking coffee and there's like two people walking back and forth and being like, okay, what if we did this? And it would be such a cool energy to try to bottle.
Yeah, it would be nuts.
Yeah.
It would probably implode.
Okay, and now you're producing now you're producing them, this is the hardest thing you've ever had to do.
Probably, yeah.
You're herding cats.
Yeah.
You have to lock them in separate rooms at some point.
Yeah.
Cut off the caffeine.
Herding cats is hard.
Herding cats. I think what you would just have to do is...
That's the band
explain
name.
To everybody why they are herding cats. No, you just, in a situation like that, you got to remind everybody why they're all there and together and not like separate people. There's no conquer and divide in that situation. Oh God.
Yeah.
Like
your band coach.
That's literally half my job. Keeping people inspired while it's kind of a hard thing to say without like making it sound harsh, but like,
right. You're not shitting.
You have to keep
saying.
Yeah. No. There's this balance between reminding people what their lane is, but allowing them to feel inspired. And there's ways you go about it, and it's different for every person and personality, but you have to like make sure the record is what's good and not that people get their like own little thing.
Yeah.
Because if it makes sense for the record, then I'm all about it. But like, that's like one of the biggest things that I do is making sure that, you know, when people get jealous or there's like arguments within bands, like part of my job is to make sure that people remember why it's working, why you're here. Like, if you're here, something's working.
It's a relationship. Like, it's a lot of personalities and so, in one big relationship.
Exactly.
And you have to be like, it's about the band, bro.
It's kind of a marriage counseling situation, but it's like polygamy because there's like seven.
There's so
and you gotta like gas them up without inflating the ego of
and mom
one
and dad at the label
so
like want something different than the kids do. And
it's all just... I'm just picturing the Will Ferrell cowbell. Oh,
it's
SNL
like the opposite
skit.
Of that though.
Yeah,
because I'm like, no, Will, get out of here with the fucking cowbell.
Yeah. Yes, there's cowbell, but like it's not the cowbell song.
There's a time and a place for cowbell.
It's a prime example of a song where you close your eyes and then you're actually like taking the song and you're like, what the fuck am I listening to? It's like lots of reverb and you're like, none of us really realized how insane it was until SNL did that sketch. And then that song was epic. I had that on on 8-track, like, you know, the little cartridges.
Yes.
I put it in for some, I don't remember where. I think I found the 8-track itself at Goodwill.
Yeah.
And my uncle was a garbage man and he'd always hook me up with anything music related.
Garbage.
Yeah. He was like a big time,
that's
like
dope.
Recycler and like,
it's like dumpster diving, but
it's
like
pickers,
elevated.
Man.
Yeah. And so his route had like radio stations.
Oh,
and it was awesome. So like I used to get like advanced copies of stuff that was like a lot of it was stuff that never got played on the radio.
Yeah.
But he would always stack me up with CDs. And like I had all these CDs when I was a kid. It was whatever the label was sending to try to push. But then they never got never got radio play. But I was like, this song is awesome. I love this. And like weird stuff. There's like certain artists that I remember that no one's ever heard of. Oh yeah,
that's
great.
Cool. How a garbage man shaped your future.
He shaped all of us. He hooked everybody up. I had this like I had one of those kids basketball hoops when I was a kid, and it was just something that like someone put out in the garbage.
Yeah,
and he took it, gave it to me, and I was like,
we still do that
I'm a
now.
Cool kid with it. Yeah,
I just do it on Nextdoor where I'm like,
yeah.
What's
now
free?
There's actually like an outlet for it. There didn't really used to be a way to like it was like garage sale. You didn't want to have a garage sale. It was like
we
put stuff out
garage
there.
Sales. That poor kid mentality, man. Everything's treasure.
Oh yeah,
we had the best time at garage sales.
It's so
absolutely love garage sales. still love garage sales. Yeah, I love not throwing stuff away. Me too. Love knowing that things are going to be useful.
Yeah. Would you like to play a quick game with us?
Sure.
Do you want to play a game? You have to say it creepy after that.
It's this or that. We're going to give you two options and you choose your choice. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Ice cream or cake?
Cake.
Pool party or costume party?
Oh, costume pool party? No?
Yes.
Okay, costume pool party.
Downtown or suburbs?
Downtown.
Live music or under headphones?
Live music, actually. Oh. I would say live music, yeah.
Travel for work or work comes to you?
Work comes to me.
Dance party or karaoke party?
Oh, dance party for sure.
Dance party for sure.
Yeah. Like, I don't need to hear a bunch of people singing bad.
Right.
For a long day of work.
Busted.
I mean, I don't mind.
We like it all.
There you go.
A karaoke dance party. You can only sing 90s like dance with a pool.
With people that can sing marginally well or love. Yeah.
One time these two dudes literally walked in the door of the bar, put in their song, talked to the KJ, and he was like nodding like yeah, totally. And then their song was next. Cut the line. Did some crazy mashup that they made up, and it was incredible. And I cannot remember what it was. It was a late night. But I just remember, like, this is like one of the best matches. Yeah, it was a showstopper, and it was so good. And then they peaced out.
You did really well at this or that. You got all the answers right.
Oh, okay.
Good job.
Good to know, 100%.
Good to know.
No wrong answers.
My favorite part of the show is compliments. So now you get to sit back, and we are going to genuinely compliment you to your face.
This is my least favorite part of the show.
Yeah, it's everybody's, but we're doing it live, okay.
It's even better.
More. It hurts so good. Mm-hmm. A good description of it, somebody said that it made them feel seasick. And
wow.
Yeah. So you're welcome in advance.
Can't wait.
I just like
puke.
That I got to see that sheer panic in
do
person.
I get a bucket or
like,
do
you get a bucket? It's your place, man.
Patch,
you got a bucket.
Maybe,
yeah.
You know,
a bucket.
Barf in the pool when you're done.
Your ear.
Dramamine.
Barf in the pool.
Barf in the pool. Just, yeah.
It's chlorinated, man.
Once a year. That's what we do.
Christopher, Christ Kremet, K Crum. Thank you so much for being such an inspiration. You are wonderful. And I'm going to get really serious, but I love that I've gotten to watch you grow up before my eyes. I met you when we were both fairly young. Mm-hmm. And our friendship was just like, no strings. See you when I see you. Yeah. No expectations. When we bump into each other, it was always a fun time. And it was always like wild and weird and silly. And to see those fun party moments, basement shows, crazy madness, to have that be like the backbone of what I knew of you.
Yeah.
To see where you've come and to see what you've built for yourself and to see your beautiful family and to see you guys have babies and have this wonderful home and to see the career that you've built. And I'm seriously so in awe of everything you've created and just to see all these plaques on the walls. Do you walk through ever and go, fuck,
every day.
Like, this is cool. Amazing. Yeah. I have goosebumps. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that you're able to grow up in a musical family, dive into music and have that be your heart and have it grow into something that is so truly you, and everything you touch is magical and you're so talented, but you've always stayed really humble, a really cool, genuine human. And I think that's what draws people to you over and over again is your talent mixed with the fact that you are just so grounded. And I'm just really proud of you. And I can't wait to see what you do 20 years from now and what you build with us, because you're just multifaceted talent. And I think you are incredible. And thank you so much for being in my friendship world. I think you're great.
Well, I appreciate it. I think you're great too.
I've always
appreciated our friendship. Nah, you're great. We've done a lot of things. We've both done so much in the last 20 years. It's wild.
We kind of just branch out and do whatever feels good. Like when we're walking around your studio and we're going, this fucking wood wall. And you're like, that took me a long time to build. And we're just like, of course you built it. Because Shannon and I are the same type of people where we're like, well, let's just bootstraps, sweat it out. When we're done, it's going to look crazy, but trust the process because we're going to make a mess first.
Yep.
And that's kind of the fun of it, is
totally
getting your hands maturity.
Because that's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
This is my compliment corner. Okay, so I'm taking off of you. I'm looking around at all of these things, and your accomplishments are all over the walls and everything. But the first thing my weird craft brain comes in and looks at is the design of this room is rad. Mm-hmm. You could tell that, like, you've built something really amazing for other people to work in, but all these details are so fucking cool. And there's obviously a story in all these little things. If there could be a cooler man cave, air quotes I'm doing, like, I can't think of one. Also, our dad was a very musical production man. He would fucking kill to have been in this area. He had shelves and shelves of recording equipment, Frankensteined things, mm-hmm. and did every single track himself and had, like, his own little recording corner. You could tell all the things that you've crafted with your hands in here. Yeah, that's really what it is.
And it feels really comfortable and homey. You can see the love that you
There's a lot of character in this room. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of your personality in this room. Meeting you, you have, like, a chill personality. I feel like you've got a shitload of layers, and all your stories are fucking hilarious. This, you kind of let this speak for you. Your talent's fucking clear, man. This is really cool. I'm proud of Jason because I've listened to a lot of this.
Thank you.
It's pretty sweet.
Thank you. How I like it. Feels good.
Feels good.
Yeah, feels really nice.
It's not so awful.
Yeah. It's just, you just never know what to say afterwards. Well, I also constantly interrupt and talk about stuff. that's my other problem is I can't just say thank you. Like we were talking about before the podcast.
I'm telling you, man.
Also, like at the end of the day, like it's nice to work hard and have a life and do all the things and feel like you have all your ducks in a row. Or even if you're just like living in chaos to have somebody go, hey, I feel like I see you. I see the real you and you're everything you're supposed to be. I fucking respect you. You're just cool.
I appreciate it. I know I've said that before. Just have no, don't know how to respond. But I'm glad you guys had me on.
This is cool. Should, you're fun.
We should do a throwback version of this Sunday where it's like 11 p.m. and we've had like seven drinks.
Oh, God, yeah.
In
and
costume,
then we're like super group and we
like
all have
a real version.
We have like super villain.
Can and
we
then
have
you listen to it the next morning and delete it.
Yeah. Like, it'll be Patreon content only because it'll be so weird.
Unedited. It's all on the floor.
It's a rough cut.
That's how we would have done it.
Yeah. We were on the floor.
Ago. Yeah, right. We were
we just put a mattress down and we put the equipment and one microphone in between and then we just
be laying there. Your tummies.
Talk.
Yep.
Yep.
That's while we like chain smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
Indoors.
Look how mature we are.
Indoors.
Indoors.
It's so weird to me now.
I was just thinking about that the other day. The amount of cigarettes I've smoked inside of
or
a small
in
space.
Cars, like in people's cars with like restaurants.
I didn't really even
with like
smoke,
the windows down.
Definitely inhaled
you
lots
were in the
of cigarettes. Oh yeah, cars and like,
restaurants.
Even when when we were kids, like we were right at the cutoff of like we lived through the cutoff of public places in the like very early 80s.
Yeah,
and then the cutoff of like I remember being in grocery stores as a really little kid in like rural Oregon and people just smoking.
Yes.
And then like restaurants had smoking sections, but it was like
there's no doors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's no doors. It was just like
your Sherry's is like Sherry's a donut.
Yeah, and they let us. The craziest thing is I used to go to Sherry's when I was like 14,
not get
15,
carded.
And ride
we were
with
just
it. Yeah,
talking
no,
about
no,
this
there
the
was no
day.
One was even carding. Yeah, no one was no. carding. Just sit in the smoking section with my older friends, and I didn't smoke, but those people
did.
And I was just sitting
cool?
around. Oh yeah, definitely.
The jaded old waitresses don't give two fucks.
Yeah,
so cool.
Like if he wants to breathe, it let him breathe.
But yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they cut that off. Like 2001 or
thank
something
God, but
and then
you go
and then our whole
smells.
But then we turned 21 or at least I did mm-hmm. so then I went right into like bars where
same.
Everyone was just full of smoke
exactly.
and then
us 80s babies
done
man
in 2009 and I remember 2009 going into bars and being like oh it smells like beer in here not cigarettes
that's
like,
right
you and remember that feeling
yeah.
being like I miss the old smoky smell it smells like
it
old
really
fucking
hid,
beer it's
yeah.
nasty yeah
yeah stale beer and like Portland inherently smells like
oh yeah pee
and
yeast
like
and
yeast
like
and
yeah
but it's all beer smell because Portland brew town
it's funny because like that went away kind of from like 2011 or 12 till like 2020 mm-hmm. and I feel like a lot of people who moved here in that time were like I love clean, like good smelling Portland. And then like, you mm-hmm. know, when it kind of like backslid a little bit and started to smell bad again, and I'm like, it smells like Portland used to smell. I don't remember
you're
this.
Like, oh, this
walk into
normal.
The Paris Theater, you smell like seven different kinds of
oh
pee and
God.
Two kinds of rotten ranch.
And God, like, yeah. So for okay. all the people good. That want to find out more about you or find mm-hmm. and follow you, see your projects. You do also have like audio classes
yeah.
and things like that online that people can look into if they're into engineering and production.
Yeah.
Where can people find that information? And then what like social avenues do you use that you have people follow you at?
So I am currently in between websites.
Nice.
So I would just go to my Instagram, which is at K CRUMMETT. And my Twitter's the same. And I think you can find me on Facebook that way. Like on my Instagram, you can find everything. You can find
Instagram's
all
where it's at anymore, I feel like.
Yeah.
And that's the one that that's the only one I really keep up with. Twitter is mostly just random thoughts. It's not really, I don't use it as much of a professional outlet.
We ghosted our Twitter and we're like, deal with it.
We just hold it. It's ours.
We'll use it for like a contest or something one day. Yeah. You don't have like a quarantine dance TikTok where you and your 7 foot wingspan.
No, I didn't have a quarantine. I just worked when my work is already like kind of quarantined.
That's true. So you're like, I'm already.
I was just like yeah. And then quarantine was over, and everyone was like, "Whoa, that was crazy! I just watched movies all day." And I was like, "I just work.
I'm already like this.
I didn't get any of the like benefits of quarantine. But also felt really thankful that I still had a job through all of it.
Right.
But that was a crazy time. But no TikTok. any TikToks that we're seeing people put on Instagram stories, I just see them there.
That's accurate.
keep my Instagram up. That's where people can find me.
You did a masterclass type thing.
Yeah, through Ultimate Recording Machine, also known as Nail the Mix. Unstoppable Recording Machine, actually. URM Academy. People can find my classes there. You can also find like software stuff that I've worked on through stltones.com. Sweet. And I am actually in the latest issue of a magazine called Kill Iconic.
Cool.
And if you go to killiconic.com or find them on my Instagram or anything, you can order a copy of the magazine or I think subscribe and see the like online zine.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah. So,
that's fun.
Yeah.
Then you'll have another magazine cover for your wall.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. That's so I'm cool. Just waiting for my issue.
Yeah. Just be your own proud mom and frame it on the wall. I don't keep any of my accolades. Dude. Yeah. I should just look them all up and print things out.
I even have
like,
a newspaper clipping of a guy who ran from the cops through my backyard as a kid, and there's a newspaper article about it. I still have it. Yeah, I still have it framed.
That's cool.
I'll frame anything.
Fucking nostalgia. It's framed.
Should frame more stuff.
Yeah. I should frame more stuff. I literally make shit to put in frames, and I'm like, you order it. I don't care about it anymore because I've looked at it for 200 hours.
You got to look out for the, like, I think it's Joann's or I forget what company does, like, frame sales.
Oh,
and they'll do these.
Michael's? Yeah, oh, my God.
That's where a lot of
they're like, custom framing for 65% off. And we're like, they're just
giving
it away.
And then you get a coupon on it for, like, your next one is even cheaper or, like, buy one, get one free. I did this thing where, like, I kept going back.
Yeah.
And they kept giving me more coupons. And I was like,
I'm rich
I
with frames.
I'm the like frame 50 king. Frames.
You
that's
have
all the
they're all
ones,
like great
they look
shaped
so good
frames.
Too.
They do look really good.
The CD like ones. Those are cool. Shout out to my mom. That was for like 5 Christmases. She'd buy me because those ones are the ones with the wood.
Yeah,
are actually kind of expensive. So she'd buy me like 5 every Christmas.
That's
to,
so cool.
Like
in a set. These are
I
cool.
like it because they all match too. It looks really
and
good.
And the CDs inside.
Yeah.
Like that's really pretty. You can see the artwork on both.
I love
that. Custom framing is really funny. We joke about it. We're like, every time we go past Michael's frame station, it's a ghost town and somebody's like makes eye contact with you. We're like, do you want to? No, you don't want to frame.
Do you want to frame?
You just want to know where the knitting supplies are. Yeah. You're fun. This is good. Well, this is very comfortable and very homey.
I love
this. And we appreciate you having us in your home studio.
Yeah. I'm glad you're able to come.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. It was just a quick drive around town.
Now.
So
got us back to the old hood, man. This is great.
Yeah.
I love that.
You're a wonderful prize. You are that.
Oh.
And we'll be back in the summertime for this pool party.
Yeah.
Pool party in costume.
Pool party.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, costume pool
karaoke.
Party. Yeah, I figure out how to
I
do
want
that.
Pool dance party.
Yeah.
I'm but like it. When you're in the water, you have to be dancing.
Done.
Sounds good.
It's that's like aerobic.
Even if you're in the deep end.
Yeah. Just give everyone those senior citizen foam weights.
There we go.
I'm going to have put on my swim fins.
Milk jugs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
On that note, bye.
Bye.
Take
bye,
it easy.
That was incredible.
I love him.
Love. You guys enjoyed that as much as we did, which is literally impossible, but like hopefully it's pretty close. You could talk to us about how much you enjoyed it on the social medias. Bonnie, where can they find us?
We are on Instagram under No, You Are That.
Don't forget the no.
It's a rebuttal. Mm-hmm. We're also on Facebook. We have a group and a page. If you want information, just go ahead and like that page and you'll get heads up about who is new on the pod. If you want to join the group, games, activities, and a community full of nostalgia freaks who want to interact with you.
Yes. Also, we are on Patreon. If they wanted to support us for as little as like one doll hair, where do they find us?
Patreon.com/
You are that.
Delightful.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have sweet merch.
A web store where Indeed. You can buy merch related to the podcast or related to just 80s and 90s nostalgia. Mm-hmm. It makes your heart happy. And that is located at
youarethatmerch.com.
It's very nice.
Indeed.
Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate all of our listeners all over the world. You guys are fantastic. And thank you for tuning in again every other week. We love it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Hydrate, everyone. Good job.
Water time. It's the part of the show where we all drink water. Mm-hmm.
Live performances. Do you... I sound like I farted.
Okay, I'm on a leather couch, you guys. Do you have any
She's
performing...
Not. No, sorry.
She's just
no, she is.
She's actually just like levitating. Yeah. That was weird. But, like...
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional, unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.